Hi, and welcome to another Java podcast. Part of me thinks who's going to be listening to these podcasts, so if you are the one listener who is listening to these podcasts, then well done for keep listening. Hopefully I haven't put you off too much. If you're one of the people who are purposely trying to ignore it, unless I'm telling you to read it as a teacher, then ha-ha. Anyway, today we're going to look at looping. Now, looping and iteration is a fundamental part of programming. Effectively, most of your code will be spent in a loop. Most of the code on your computer when you're running Word or whatever is looping. For example, when you're typing in Word, it's waiting for you to type a letter, and it's basically going in through a loop, where the loop is probably something along the lines of, if keyboard's been pressed, deal with it, otherwise, sleep, until the keyboard has been pressed. I'm sure it's a bit more complicated than that, but that's pretty much the essence behind it. They say that 80% of the time is spent in roughly 20% of your code, so majority of your code is going to be in a loop. It's a bit difficult to prove that without going into lots of programming ideas, but you get used to the fact that most of your code will be in a loop when you do it. For example, if you're sorting numbers, it's going to be a huge loop to do that, and so on and so forth. So looping is pretty important, to be fair. And there's three main types of loops that you need to be aware of. In Java, there's for loops, while loops, and do while. When you do use a loop, you need to be able to stop the loop. Now, there's nothing worse than an infinite loop, because what happens with an infinite loop in programming is that it will just hang the computer. It will start to crash. In the old days of Windows 3.1 and Windows 95, if you create an infinite loop, then pretty much it bombed the system and you'd have to do your best to try and cancel it out. Thankfully, nowadays, operating systems are a bit better at multitasking when you do have an infinite loop, but it will still slow your system down. I mean, once I wrote an infinite loop, which was writing to a file, that file got to something about 400 megabytes before I managed to stop it. It was supposed to be about 10k. So you can see how damaging infinite loops can be. So you must be able to stop the loop from going. Let's consider the for loop to begin with, and it's got three elements to it. The start value, this is where it will start from, the condition, which is what will stop the loop, and the increment, which will be run after the loop has run. It also has a code block. So the way it'll work is this. First of all, the start value is run. Now that can be setting up a variable, for example a counter, or it could be any code you want to. If it is a counter, then the counter will set where the loop is going to be starting from. The condition will then be a Boolean test. It will basically have a condition like the if statement, which will then decide whether the loop should run or whether the loop should not run. Okay, so if it evaluates a true, the loop runs. If it evaluates a false, the loop does not. Bearing in mind, the loop code will not run if it does evaluate a false. That's really important to remember. The next thing that will happen is the code block, which the for loop is attached to, will run. So everything within the curly brackets of that for loop code block will run, and then once it's finished, it will then increment the counter. So whatever is in the increment code will be run, and then again the condition will be tested. If it's true, it will loop again, it will run the code block again, then do the increment, and then test again. If it's not, it will stop and then move outside the code block and run whatever's after it. So loops rely on the condition and increment to basically get them towards the goal. So loops should have a kind of a terminator, a place where it will stop, and also a way of incrementing. While loops are another form of looping, these are a bit simpler, where you only specify the condition when they stop. That means you have to increment, make the while loop get to the condition manually. So that means you should initialize it yourself, you should increment it yourself, and then obviously do the test. Now, while loops tend to be used for things which don't necessarily use a counter. For example, you can use it with iterators and array lists and things like that. You can also use a do while. Now, do whiles are the exact same as a while loop. The big difference is the conditions evaluated after the code block has run at least once. So the condition is evaluated after the code is run, not before it. Okay, and that's a big difference. And it kind of makes sense when you see a do while loop written, because the condition is written at the bottom. So you'd have do, your code block, while, condition. Yeah. With loops in the conditions, you can do anything in the condition that you could do in an if statement. So you could use the and or the nots, so the double ampersand, the double or double vertical lines, or the exclamation marks. And yeah, you can use them as much as you want to. So it's quite common to see Java code in a while loop, especially with you know, something ampersand, something else. If you are learning pseudocode, then you might come across something known as repeat until. Now, repeat until is very similar to a do while loop. In fact, it is pretty much the same thing. Conceptually, it's the same kind of idea. The big difference is a repeat until loop will only run the code if the until part, the condition part, evaluates a false. So we don't use this in Java, but if you are looking at pseudocode, reading code off the internet, you might come across them, so it's worth mentioning. You can convert between different loops, and the process is pretty straightforward. If you're interested, have a look at my website, you'll find it quite straightforward. And also, you can nest loops. Now, for example, bubble sort, which is a very simple and very common sorting algorithm, that uses nested loops, and there's quite a lot of algorithms out there which use nested loops in some way or another. It works the same idea as nested if statements, just obviously with for loops. So you can nest them as much as you want to, just bear in mind that the inner for loop will run n times, where n is the amount of times the outer for loop has run. So if you've got the outer for loop running 10 times, and the inner loop running 10 times, the whole code will run 100 times. Yeah, 10 times 10. Okay, just to sum up, iteration is another word for looping, repeating. There are three types of loops: for, while, and do while. A loop requires a counter to keep track of when to stop the loop. A counter is just a simple variable. A loop has a start. A for loop, sorry, has a start value, a condition, and an increment. The start value is only called once and is used to initialize the counter. The condition controls when the loop stops, must evaluate to true for the loop to run, or false for the loop not to run, and it always must evaluate to a boolean. You can use ampersands and ors and nots and ands and all that kind of rubbish that you normally can in if statements. Once you increment, you only increment once the code block is complete, and this is used to advance the counter close to condition. Code block must contain curly brackets, and do while will always run the code block once. And you can convert between them very simply by using the converting steps on my website. Well, I hope there was some useful information here. Have a read through the website, have a go at the assignments as always, just to get yourself used to how to do it, and pretty much ensure that you understand looping quite well, because loops will form the basis of most of your code, and also will form the basis of most of your exam questions, because most exam questions that I've seen certainly will have a loop in some shape or another.